Welcome to Box Box Box, the Aussie F1 podcast. In this week's episode, we review F1 1000 in Shanghai, China, with Mercedes taking a hold of the championship, team orders at Ferrari, and the usual thrills and spills. We've got you covered for all the action. So strap yourself in, pour yourself a shoey of your favourite beverage, and enjoy the ride. Welcome to Box Box Box, the Aussie F1 podcast. My name's Izzy Reilly, coming to you from Adelaide, Australia. And today in the studio, I've got Box 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 Chief Ferrari. No, number one Ferrari fan, definitely from within this room, Michael Niccolo.
The Box 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 Ferrari Delicate, we'll call it.
I like it, mate. It's got a nice ring to it.
Not a bad ring.
Yeah. You get a good handsome paycheck with that one.
That'd be nice.
And also, we've got Daniel Ball, our Chief Technical Officer here at Box Box Box.
Hello, Izzy. How are you?
Very well, thanks, mate. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Did our Chief Technical Officer bother to watch this race?
I did bother to watch this race this time round.
That's good.
I watched it live. How about you, Izzy? Did you watch it live?
Well, actually, no. I watched it about 3 or 4 hours delayed. So, not up to our usual live standards.
That was an exciting media blackout that you had to put yourself through to.
Yeah, I had to turn the phone down, put it down, not look at it. It's tough.
It's hard.
You had to do that last race. So.
For a whole day too. That was bad.
Yes. But overall, what do we think of the race, guys? So
it was a bit of a processional race. Again, this time it wasn't exciting as our last race. Certainly there was overtaking, but not to the extent that we had last fortnight in Bahrain. That was exciting, and this time we just seemed to miss the mark slightly, I think.
Yep. It was very, very quickly we'll just talk about.
I'd call it boring.
Boring? You're throwing it out there, mate.
Yeah, I thought it was a boring race.
Mm-hmm.
The total opposite of what we experienced in Bahrain. And I'll tell you what, they'd be kicking themselves. They marketed this as number 1,000.
Yep.
They would have loved that to have been Bahrain.
Mm. But there's some good technical strategy sort of playing around there with the second and the third stint, I thought, where they were jumping different tyres, jumping into pit lane to swap tyres. There was a few little strategy games there that I liked.
Yeah, there were. So we'll just run down the overall I guess race classification. I won't go through the whole grid, but we had Lewis achieving his 75th win in Formula One, which is a phenomenal effort. Congrats, Lewis.
And he also achieved 4,000 laps led.
Wow.
Which is also huge. Equivalent to Michael Schumacher.
Wow. So he's sneaking up on Mr. Schumacher, isn't he?
Mm. Yeah, I think you only got to get the championships now to sort of equal him in status of driving championships.
The Mercs came home in a 1-2, and it was the leaders were pretty much the same as the last two races. So Ferrari up there as well, Red Bull up there, Renault doing okay with Daniel Ricciardo's result.
I think Daniel drove a very good race. Unfortunately, we've got another retirement from a Renault engine again.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel was solid, but certainly not memorable.
No. Well, you didn't even get to see him until about three quarters of the race through. One of the guys I was watching the race with said, I haven't even seen Daniel. And then next minute, up he pops. It was literally that minute that he said it, that you saw something with Daniel.
Just to digress, what did you guys think of the broadcast from China? Sitting at home watching it, the camera work seemed subpar.
Yep.
A lot of out of focus, a lot of picking people up after the apex.
Mm-hmm.
The camera work just didn't seem up to scratch.
I can't say that I was actually consciously thinking that at the time, but I can see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. My internet kept freezing, so thank you, Telstra.
Stick the boot in, mate. Now, let's just briefly recap quali, guys. Shall we do that?
Absolutely.
So it was an interesting quali session. We had the Q1 session where Leclerc went out and he didn't
quite nail his lap time, and I think he was like 1.3 seconds roughly off of the fastest time of, I think it was either Hamilton or Bottas in Q1. And there was a little bit of debate of whether he should go into do another lap. He ended up doing that, and he made Q2. We had in Q2, Bottas, I think, got the fastest lap again. Just looking at my notes.
Well, and Bottas seemed to have the measure of Lewis all weekend until it mattered.
Until it mattered to the race.
In my notes, guys, I've got Bottas was quick. And interestingly, Martin Brundle said that he thought that Bottas was back to his Australian spec. So speaking of, you know, him winning the race and being the bearded monster that he was in Australia about a month ago. So, and then Q3, Bottas was quickest in the first run by 7,000th. I can't say that. And Bottas ended up getting the pole position. And interestingly, Ricciardo for the first time out qualified his teammate this season by 4,000th.
I think Daniel's taking a little bit of time to get settled into that Renault car and chassis. I mean, he's come from a Red Bull, which is phenomenal on the track. He's got plenty of grip, and he stepped back to a Renault. So trying to learn, sort of take a backward step on that car, it's taken him a little while to learn it, I think, and I think he's beginning to get the measure of that car now. And
I read today, I'm not sure if you just mentioned it, but I read today that he thought he'd been overdriving the Renault. So he's relaxed his driving style.
Quite probable. You quite often see that with drivers. They get into a new car and they overdrive it. You know, Leclerc did it when he jumped into the Sauber last year, and I think he did it a little bit in Melbourne as well.
Yeah.
I think the Bahrain test really helped Daniel.
Yeah.
He was able to go out there, knock out a whole heap of laps, see what was going to work best for him.
Change his driving style a little bit. To improve it.
Here's another topic for discussion. Do you just bring back testing whenever they want? So guys like Daniel can go out there and perfect their racecraft.
But it's cost. You all of a sudden then you get teams like Williams and all the rest of it who are already backmarkers not being able to improve their car and take on the big teams.
Mm-hmm. Well, they can't do that now.
Well, we know that, but there's even less chance that they have to spend more money that they don't have.
Well, maybe if they went out there and, fine-tuned it, practiced a little bit, they might improve.
I've got an idea. Now, we can float this and talk about this perhaps a little bit more another time.
Yes. But,
why don't you have a pyramid, the top teams, Mercedes, Ferrari, they get less. They actually had a credits system a while back, but, the top teams get less. Less testing, and the bottom teams get more testing. Try and make it more.
I'd be like a socialist social security welfare system.
Perhaps, Mikey. Perhaps that's an interesting comparison. But yes, that's somewhat what I was thinking. Now let's move on to the story of the race, guys. So, story of the race. We had a very, very big incident in the first, 10 laps? Or not?
Lap six, we talking about?
Let's just qualify what I was talking about. I'm talking about the team orders.
You've jumped 11. Ahead, mate. You've jumped ahead.
Let's bring it back. Let's bring it back.
Let's start with the grid. It's, I think, maybe the sixth or seventh time in the history of F1 that each row was dedicated to a team in the top 10.
Yeah.
So you had Mercedes, Ferrari, Red Bull, Renault, and then the the Haas, interesting.
Is that
probably is a reflection of where everyone's at, to be honest, as well.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Very interesting. But I think we've got to talk about what happened with McLaren and Danny Kvyat first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, turn six.
Yep.
So, question, do you think Kvyat deserved the drive-through penalty?
No. Not at all. I just, when I saw it from multiple angles during the race. I thought it was a racing incident. I thought he oversteered, but who was on the inside? Was it
Lando had gone off the track. Yep,
Sainz was on the inside.
On the edge.
He pretty much did exactly the same corrective steer that Daniel Kvyat did. I just think box on, keep going.
I don't think they should have penalised him. I thought it was a bit harsh. I did think he, you know, you could see what was going to happen and, you know, get out of there, back out of there. And he did look, he did put his brakes on and the McLaren did clip him and that's what sent McLaren into McLaren.
But the rules state wholly and solely at fault, and that's how they deemed it to be Kvyat's fault. It was his fault that he went in too hot, went wide, oversteered.
Yeah, Carlos Sainz, I read somewhere that Carlos Sainz had said that Kvyat was not patient enough. It's the first lap of the race. Hold your horses, mate. Just settle down, old there, yeah. Danny boy, and just, yeah, just wait until at least we've cleared each other.
Yeah. Oh, look, I agree. I don't think he should have been penalised for that. I think it was a first lap incident and should, you know, box on and, you know, a bit of biff and bash is okay as long as it doesn't.
There's no doubt that Kvyat was probably the most to blame for that. But I don't think he deserved a penalty. It is the first lap. They're all, you know, three into one doesn't go. But look, you got one McLaren that's slightly off the track and coming back on, and you got the other one that could have moved to his right as well.
Lando came back on pretty aggressively from going off the track. He's jumped back in and sandwiched Saints in the middle there and gave him nowhere to go.
Mm. All right. Yeah, it's 50-50. You can go either way with that one. I'd like to talk about Valtteri, Bottas and Hamilton off the start line. Hamilton had a very good start. Bottas said he botched it and spun his wheels and he reckons that ruined his race. What are your thoughts on that? It ruined
Sebastian's race too. Sebastian had a good start but then had to back off and was sort of caught in no man's land and Leclerc slipped through. Bottas probably got it a little bit wrong on the start, but, hey, he's human. It happens. As long as it doesn't happen every race, I don't think it's going to be an issue. I think he's worked hard on it.
Yeah.
I think Lewis had poor starts the last couple of Grand Prix.
Yeah, he did.
But then nailed it today. And they've said that Lewis has been working really, really hard on that to get his starts, you know, spot on. And he did that in China.
But it comes down to your tyre temperature, how much throttle you input. You know, Valtteri had the white start-finish line straight in front of him. So when he's trying to put down the power and the wheels are spinning, he hits a white line that has less grip. So all of a sudden he's spinning up a little bit harder. So there are so many little minute variables in that launch that can stuff you over. And unfortunately, as you said, Valtteri, unfortunately, I think, got the raw end of the stick and Hamilton got, you know, got it hooked up well and launched off the line well.
That leads us to what I said earlier, team orders.
I hate team orders.
So do I. Mikey.
I have no issue with team orders.
Bloody said, Ferraris.
Says like a true Ferrari race fan.
Hey, look, it's a team sport. It you know, the constructor is the one that puts all the money in. The guy's got to toe the line sometimes.
But stuff that breaks the races.
No, I will say this. I don't have an issue with Ferrari doing their team orders. They've always done it. They're always going to do it. They always pick one that they back. And if Sebastian's the one they think they should back, then, you know, good on them. No worries. You're right, though. They absolutely, totally botched this one. They left it probably too late for Leclerc to move over. It should have been done sooner for Vettel to try and stay with the Mercedes while the tyres were fresher. They got that wrong. Then where it went wrong as well is, I don't know if it was Seb mentally. I don't know if it was the car. I don't know if it was the tyres. They degraded too much then behind Leclerc. But he's gone and locked it up three times and that three-point-something-second gap has blown out to nearly 8 seconds.
He was pushing to try and get out in front of catch up.
Maybe that was it.
And locked up the brakes. And once you've done it once, you end up doing it two or three times.
Were guys that Seb following Leclerc was in the dirty air and essentially ruined his tyres because he was trying
sliding all over the track and grained them.
And subsequently, the same happened to Leclerc after they switched. Leclerc ruined his tyres. So
I
let him race. Let the guys race, please. It'd be great to see Leclerc and Vettel fight out fairly, but not team orders. Let him pass. Hey,
surprisingly, though, neither of the Ferraris could pass each other in China. Not even with that monster straight and DRS, which was strange. I thought that, you know, if one was quicker, they'd walk straight past them on the straight, but it didn't happen.
No, it didn't. Not at all. No, it's really odd actually, isn't it?
Perhaps there was, I don't know, a crosswind or something. The headwind wasn't as prevalent.
They did talk about crosswinds early on in the race, and that's when the two Ferraris were together. And then they did say towards the end of the race that the crosswinds had backed off.
Depending on where the wind comes from, it does have a massive effect on your DRS. If it's coming from in front of you, you open up that DRS, it makes a massive change in the way that that car reacts.
I love Ferrari, but I'm going to criticise them now.
Are you running a temperature or something, Mike?
No,
are you sure? Do you need an ambulance?
I'm not going to say they can't enforce team orders. What frustrated me as a real Ferrari fan is the way it all happened. They've done it too late, and Vettel's gotten ahead of Leclerc. He's not pulled away. Like we've just said, his tyres were stuffed, and they stuffed Leclerc's tyres. Leclerc
was saying that he was being held up by Vettel.
But then Ferrari have this stupid tendency they wait and see what everyone else does, and then they react.
Yeah.
They never say, look, this is what we should do because this is what's going to be best for us, and let's do that, and stuff thinking about everyone else. If they want to react to us, that's their problem. So they've gone about this stupid scenario. Verstappen starts catching Leclerc and Vettel, and then they think, oh, no, what are we going to do here? We've got to start thinking of pitting. They should have planned that earlier.
Yep.
It was, you know what they should have done? They want to get past Leclerc. Let's bring Vettel in now and put some fresh tyres on him. Mm-hmm. Or let's bring in Leclerc and get him out of Vettel's way and put some tyres on him and see what happens.
Yeah,
not let's move him out of the way and we've stuffed both their races. Let's bring Vettel in now because Verstappen's catching up. Oh, no, what do we do with Leclerc? Let's just leave him out there and see how far we can go with these tyres. Maybe we can one-stop it. And then when you start thinking that, when the next round of pit stops happen, everyone's a bit quicker. We're going to abandon that pit.
And then
they had no idea what they were doing.
Yep.
And that's why they frustrated me. That's why, for me, they need to really sort out what they're doing there.
See, I don't think passing on track's the way to go. I think doing the pit stop, call the pit stop early, go to a two-stop. And I think this season we're going to see a lot more two-stop races than what we have previously. We've seen a lot of one-stop races last year.
One-stop can work. Look at Albon. I think everyone gets so caught up and reacts to the first pit stop. Anyone who's, within 20 to 30 seconds of the lead, if someone pits, we better react.
Yeah.
What happens if they start catching us? Then we've lost our gap and undercut. They fear the undercut.
But what happens, though, is they come up behind you, they've got younger tyres than you, and they can overtake you. And particularly on a track that you can't overtake on, is not so much of an issue. On a track that you can overtake on, like Bahrain and China,
you can afford to go longer. And
well, no, your risk is if you do have older tyres and they've got younger tyres behind you, they're going to be able to overtake you.
Mm.
It's just a matter of making up that 23 second difference on the pit stop.
I'd like to see Ferrari come up with their own race strategy and stick to it, because right now, what they're doing is basically screwing one of their drivers, no matter what they do.
I think that's good.
While you have Verstappen there, or if there's a Mercedes there, they're going to screw one of their drivers because they can't pit them at the same time. Unless you're Mercedes and you do 3.7, 3 points. That was fantastic.
That was clockwork, that stop.
Yeah, that was pure German clockwork. That was fantastic.
You will come in now.
But Ferrari, they need to sort themselves out with that. They don't have a vision for the race. They just react to everyone else.
I think you're right.
What do we think? Is it Mattias Binotto? Is that his name?
Yeah, Binotti.
Binotti. That squarely lays at his feet, doesn't it?
Yeah. But as much as I love that Eva Bernard, they did things like this last season as well.
Yeah. So it's a culture thing, it seems.
I think so. Yeah. I think it is.
Yeah.
It's a culture thing with having the lead driver and committing to the lead driver.
Yep.
But then trying to keep the second driver happy because Charles is going to get pissed off being told to let Seb by.
Do they need to get an outsider into that team as a team principal?
No.
No?
No.
It worked when Ross Brawn was there.
Well, Ross wasn't team principal.
Whatever he was. What was he?
He was technical director.
Okay.
John Todd was the man in charge.
Yes, they brought in John Todd.
John did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really good. Look, hard to say. I just think it's a culture thing where they don't want to take any risk.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be a bit conservative and you know, try and get the best result we can and not gamble. And I think that's the wrong thing to do.
Yeah, well, it's not shooting for, you know, it's not going, it's not taking that risk and going for number
Ferrari,
one.
Ferrari never capitalise on
it's damage their mitigation position. More than anything, isn't it?
You look at, let's take Mercedes, right? In Bahrain, they were not the quickest car. Lewis capitalised on the position he was in at that moment to have a run at Vettel and get him. You in here, you've got Verstappen in China. He really wasn't as quick as a Ferrari, but he capitalised on what was going on, and with pit stops at the right time and forcing everyone's hand and undercuts, he split the Ferraris.
Well,
he wasn't as quick as Leclerc.
No,
he wasn't. Was smarter, and he raced the hell out of his car.
That's exactly
and
what
that's the thing. Was smarter.
I Ferrari are never the ones that we sit here and say, you know what, they really capitalised on that and done that well.
No.
They're the ones that stuff it up, or the ones that were too conservative, or the ones that allow someone else to, you know, jump them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what frustrates me as a Ferrari fan.
Okay. Now, spoken about Seb, we've spoken about Charles, let's speak about Max and Pierre. Max did very well, as we've just discussed.
Oh, Max raced the hell out of that car.
He's a solid driver now.
What do we think of Pierre's race? Because
uneventful.
He was reasonably slow. But
hang on. Got the fastest lap on the last lap. They pitted him at whatever lap it was, lap
56 or something
Yeah, 49 or something, last six laps or something.
No, it was like two laps left. They pitted him and
he had a good 20-second lead. Over Ricardo and go out and have a crack and on the last lap.
Nails it.
Fastest lap.
In fairness, he was like the only person on the soft tyres.
I don't think anybody else went on the soft tyres for the whole race.
If he couldn't get the fastest lap with no fuel in the car and with the soft tyres, that's alarming.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, I don't know how much longer he's got in that car.
I was thinking the same thing, man.
We said it last time.
Let's talk about – let's see if you're thinking what I'm thinking.
Albon. Alex Albon.
Man.
He drove a stellar race.
Oh, my goodness.
He got driver of the day. He starts in pit lane and ends up getting a point.
Yeah, but he started in pit lane because he lost control of the car and put into a wall in practice three.
All drivers do it. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, he's pushing. He knows he got greedy in that corner. He didn't slow down coming through that corner in the future during the race. I think that's a good – he drove – beautifully. He
did really well.
Hopefully. I think he will get a Red Bull drive.
Maybe not this season.
Will it be a Kvyat Verstappen switch midway through the season? No, I don't think it will. I think it might be if Gasly doesn't improve by the end of the season, I think he'll be – you're out. Albon, you're in.
Yeah. Definitely.
Gasly. If Albon continues to show
his muscle, nowhere near Max, not even close to what Max is doing with that car.
No.
Not in any of the practices, not in quality, and certainly not in the race. He's a mile behind. His only saving grace is that car is so much better than fourth and onwards that he's got a bit of breathing room there. And that's why he could pit. Mm. He had that breathing room.
The interesting comparison is to see how I think we spoke about this last race, guys. You know, the comparison between Gasly and Ricciardo. Ricciardo has, I mean, we talked about it earlier during this show where Ricciardo's found the pace. Do we know if Gasly has? Did he do a lot of testing, or we're not sure?
I'm not sure how much testing he did after Bahrain. Look, I think Gasly will come good. I think he's still got to find his place in that
team. Let's hope so. Yeah.
He's a good driver. He's a solid driver, and I think he'll do well. But it's a mental game now for him. If he starts getting his head beaten around by Verstappen all the time and not being able to get control of this car, he'll be lost. He'll be like Kvyat was at the old season.
2016
or whatever it was.
Okay. Well, I think that ties up the story of the race, guys.
The one thing I will say also, I thought Kimi drove the wheels off his Alpha.
Oh, yes.
That's the other one I wanted to chuck in there.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't like, you know, I think he qualified 13th and he's come in ninth. But
his overtakes, he's having
so much fun.
He's relaxed. He's like a relaxed driver now, and he's just like, oh yeah, no, I think he said it during the week sometime.
Did he say, leave me alone? I know what I'm doing.
What was the other one he said? I can't remember what it was now. But he's very relaxed and calm, and he said it's more like a hobby for him now than a job. And that is part of the mental game. It changes the way he thinks and just goes, you know what? I don't need to come first or second. I can just drive the wheels off this thing, have a bucket load of fun. If I go out sliding through a corner, it doesn't matter. It's just I enjoy doing it.
And he's, you know, after your Mercedes, Ferrari, Red Bulls, he's seventh in the championship. He's the first driver there out of the top six, the top three teams, sorry. Yep.
He's a consistent driver. He's not only quick, he's consistent.
And that Alpha is not the fourth fastest car.
Oh, no way. No.
But he's driving that so well. You know, he's got his 12 points. Mm-hmm. Teammate's got none. He's a class driver.
Says it all, really, doesn't it?
Kind of reminds me of last year with Alonso and his offsider where Alonso just outdrove.
Stoffel van Dorn.
That's the one, Stoffel van Dorn.
Cool.
All right, so let's run through overall winners and losers. Clearly, the winners, Mercedes.
Mercedes were the winners. Red Bull, to a lesser extent. Verstappen was able to capitalise like we spoke about earlier. Gasly got fastest lap. Good, they both got home, so reliability. I think Red Bull would be pretty happy with their result, to be honest.
Who would be most disappointed with their result, do you think?
Ferrari and McLaren.
McLaren definitely being taken out and retiring. Lando and where did Saints end up? He ended up sort of back of the pack, somewhere around 14th. So it didn't do all that well.
Just very briefly, guys, it was interesting to see very late in the race the two Williamses actually still very close together and having a bit of a
tussle.
Yeah.
Two laps behind, though.
Yeah. Ouch.
It's sad to see them back there.
We keep saying it, don't we?
Yeah.
And I'm content with it.
That's because you hate Williams.
I do. I mean.
And why do you hate Williams?
Moving on. Okay.
Brazil doesn't forget.
Let's move on with our segment, our shoey segment, guys. So, shoeys. Okay. Who's your shoey? Tell us who is your shoey.
I reckon we're all going to have the same.
I don't know.
I'm giving it to Alex Albon. The reason I'm giving it to him, he started in the pits. He's come home 10th. He's driven a very ordinary car very well, made it work with a one-stop strategy, didn't panic, didn't, you know, adapt and change race strategies because of what everyone else was doing. They had a clear plan. They went with it, and he's come in 10th, got a point. Well done.
I can't add to that. I'm going with a shoe with Alex Albon as well. I'm in a stellar race, a one-stop strategy. I don't think very few other people managed to achieve that. In China, it was a bit of a tyre killer. I think Ricciardo did it, and Gasly did a one-stop strategy. And I think Kimi did as well. But I think coming from last place, or pit lane start, to 10th into the points, I think it's just a phenomenal drive.
Especially for a rookie, hey?
Yeah, a rookie season too.
I'd give it to Alex Albon as well. So we are line astern there, guys. It's, okay. Grid penalty. Who have you got for your grid penalty, guys?
I've got Max Verstappen.
Oh, that's interesting.
Do you know why? Because you spin on the warm-up lap? Seriously?
Oh. Yeah, okay. That's a fair point.
So did
Kubica.
Yeah, but he's driving a Williams, so I can forgive that one. But Verstappen spinning, like, top-level car, top-level driver. I mean, the guy's a race winner. He's championship material, and he spins on the warm-up lap. Like, that's like second to crashing into your own teammate.
Well, okay. Mikey.
Does it have to be a driver?
I was thinking that as well. You were going to say Ferrari, weren't you?
I want to give it to Binotto.
Yeah, I think technically we've got to give it to a driver, but I was thinking exactly the same thing, Mikey.
Well, he's who I want to give it to.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it to Kvyat.
What, same. For the turn six?
Yeah. Same. Me too.
He doesn't deserve, well, we're calling it a grid penalty because he doesn't deserve a real grid penalty, but, yeah, look,
so
he was just stupid to be caught there. And
so the torpedo's back. Is that what you're trying to say?
He's compromised his race. Both McLarens didn't need to do it.
Yep.
Could have been a little bit more conservative, but, yeah, I'm going to give it to Kvyat. That's mine.
I'm giving it to Kvyat for a lack of anybody else who really didn't do that well during the race. Yeah, it's a pretty tidy race from everyone apart from that incident, so that's who I'll give it to. Righto, guys. So what we're going to do now is we'll just talk about the next race in Azerbaijan. Beautiful
Baku Street Circuit.
Yeah. I really like saying Azerbaijan. It makes me feel very sophisticated. Although I'm obviously not very sophisticated. Well, maybe in some regards, but Azerbaijan.
It doesn't scream out as a tourist destination, does it?
It doesn't.
No.
It makes you think of Borat.
Very nice. Very nice. I bet Scott Morrison impersonations.
Very interesting race last year, guys. Let's just recap for our listeners.
It's an odd track. I mean, it can be very good to watch. It can be very dull. Last year we got blessed with a ripper race, and I hope we get another one this year.
The first race, I think, was quite boring. The second time we went to Baku or Azerbaijan was interesting, and the third time was a cracker.
Yeah. Yep, cracker between the two Red Bulls last year.
Well, that was one. I think that was the point where Daniel Ricciardo was fairly firm on his decision to jump ship from Red Bull as well. I think that's one of the points where he made that decision.
Yeah, he got blamed for that incident, more or less.
So it wasn't his fault.
Nah.
I think they both had to accept some responsibility. Daniel has gone to the back of him, but Max just, you know, moving in the braking zone like that was ridiculous.
It was unsafe.
Hey, for the viewer, it was great fireworks. It was awesome to see.
I still remember screaming at the TV at that point.
It was full of drama last year. You had the Red Bulls coming together. You had Bottas.
Last couple of laps.
Retiring, yeah.
Lewis winning. Time.
Vettel and I think Bottas came together.
Yeah, I think they did have a little bit of a tingle.
Yeah, and one stage Seb was trying to challenge for the lead and didn't quite work out. But
and Bottas ran over some carbon, is that right?
Yeah. And something from the Red Bull, maybe.
Yeah, there's a lot of debris there. A lot of debris.
There's a lot of debris on that track from a couple of incidents. Wasn't it Grosjean that plowed into the wall?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Blaming Magnussen, I think it was.
Oh, yes.
And there was nobody there.
There was nobody there. Yeah, I think Magnussen hit me.
Yeah, that was pretty lame. But funnily enough, that was Grosjean's turning point as well. He didn't perform so badly after that.
That was under the safety car, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, he just plowed straight into the wall. Yep.
Yeah. Keep the tyres warm, just a bit of throttle when they were trying to, you know.
I think he hit me. No, mate, you just
Now you're going to put yourself into the wall.
You should, any of you guys out there listening to this podcast, check out the Netflix doco.
Drive to Survive.
That's the one. And they actually cover this in it, and you see the reaction in the garage.
From Steiner.
Oh, yeah.
It's head shaking at its finest, isn't it? It's like head in your hands, like, oh, my God, I cannot believe they just did that. that he just did that. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, it's going to be hopefully an exciting race.
And our predictions for the race.
Predictions. I haven't even thought about this, but my prediction would be
Mercedes 1-2.
Same.
Hard to argue with that.
Well, they've had the first three races, they've been 1-2 so far. They've shown they're a solid team.
It does have that long straight, though. But having said that, we got a really long one in China and Ferrari did nothing. So,
correct.
I'm thinking Mercedes 1-2. I hope to keep it interesting, Bottas.
Yeah, I'd like to see.
Maybe they can race each other. That would be nice to see.
The Australian spec Bottas come out and give Hamilton a bit of a crack around the head and hopefully get back in front of the championships, because he's only, 5 points off the championship now, I think?
He's 6 points off.
Yeah.
So Hamilton's on 68, Bottas is on 62. Being a street circuit, you never know. There could be some carnage. Let's hope not particularly, but
let's hope. Oh, you want carnage. I want carnage. You want safety cars coming out. You want those last dashes.
Yeah, backing them all up again, creating it in, making it interesting.
Those gaps on old tyres, new tyres, and Renault's getting in front of Red Bull.
Debris ruining people's races.
That sounds fantastic. That sounds exciting.
I'm with Daniel.
Yeah,
cool.
Because you're so wrong.
That's all good. It's all good. Guys, let's wrap that up. Final comments just on the weekend, unless you guys have anything
else.
There
is something that I want to just throw out there. Big marketing campaign for the Chinese Grand Prix, the 1,000th.
1,000th Grand Prix?
Yeah, no, it's not. But that's the thing, it's not. It's not.
Oh, that's right.
Please explain.
Okay, so this was the 1,000th F1 race for World Drivers' Championship points, so accounting for the Drivers' Championship, whatever you want to call it. There's been a lot of Grand Prix over the years that weren't counted towards the championship. And then another interesting thing, I didn't even know this myself. Like, I started looking into it over the weekend because, 1,000 Grand Prix, you start looking into it. The 1,000 Grand Prix that they were saying is not, in fact, 1,000 Grand Prix.
Oh, my God. Where is it? Where would it
hang
be?
Hang on.
Okay.
There was between 1950 and 1960, the Indianapolis 500 counted as points towards the World Championship.
But that wasn't a Grand Prix. They weren't Grand Prix races.
They were
championship races, but not Grand Prix.
Correct. So they often you wouldn't even have an F1 car in the race. I think I read Alberto Ascari went over there in 52 with an F1 car, but a lot of times the F1 cars didn't bother to rock up. So by my calculations, that was number 989 in China.
Oh, okay. So
the
what is that?
Number 1,000.
So you've gone through and counted
them. I have indeed. The number 1,000 Grand Prix for championship points.
Hang on, drum roll.
The spiritual home, Monza.
Okay, so wow, the Ferrari fan here in the room thinks that their 1,000th race is not in China but in Monza. How surprising!
I thought you were gonna have a crack at me for the spiritual home part.
Spiritual home of Ferrari
and F1.
And F1,
no, Silverstone is.
Ah, oh, bugger off!
That's where the first race was held.
Bugger off. That swamp hole.
Well, guys, look, that was an interesting view on that. And, maybe there is something to that, Mikey.
Look,
who shot JFK? Was it,
well, they arrested him. He got shot.
Yeah. Was it the one-armed man? Or was it, was it conspiracy theory there?
Watch Red Dwarf Ticket to Ride and it explains the JFK assassination.
Yeah, did you guys have you seen the Wizard of Oz coincides with Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon as well?
What?
Exactly.
Lost me there. I hope we have a better race next race. That was a little bit on the boring side. There were some good bits in there. The Verstappen overtake on Vettel, the turn six incident with Kvyat. the double stack by Mercedes, which was just gorgeous to watch.
Yeah, that was TikTok.
That was TikTok. That was awesome. And the album, Albion Drive, I think was really solid. But beyond that, not a great deal.
Right. Oh, okay. So, guys, that brings us to the end of the show. It was at the end of the day, it was a very boring, average race. But yeah, let's hope that Azerbaijan brings us some more fun racing.
More drama, more action.
Yep.
Cool. More crashes, more walls.
All right, guys. So thank you for joining us. As always, join us at Twitter, Box Aussie F1. Same with Facebook. We'd love to see you guys there. If you have anything to add to the show, if you'd like us to cover anything, give us a holler out there.
Yeah, hit us up.
And
share the podcast
with your family and friends. Thanks, guys. Have a great couple of weeks. We'll speak to you after Azerbaijan.
Yeah, until next time, take care.
Thank you very much for listening.